Chapter 6. The cluster known as the Florida court system. If you don't understand the inner workings of the Florida court system, you might assume that everything in the court is done by the book. This is true unless the chief judge, the judiciary, and court administration decide to burn the book and pretend they can't smell it smoldering in the toilet, albeit a judicial toilet. I don't believe it's a Florida statute, but for some reason, every judge has their own toilet. The sad thing is, this happens more often than you might believe. Not the toilet thing, the burning of the book thing. It sure as hell happened in my court, the 9th Judicial Circus Court of Florida. My 30 years of employment as the chief technology officer turned into 30 years of pure hell. The state of Florida created a CTO position for every court circuit. I was the CTO for the 9th Circuit Court in Orange and Osceola counties. Other than my court administrator, no one was higher on the organization chart except for my circuit's chief judge. This might sound like a good position, a promising job, unless the chief judge happens to be a certifiable psychopath, which court admin felt was the case with my lifelong nemesis, Chief Judge Belvin Perry Jr. You always need to add the junior. Making it even worse was this perceived psychopath was the chief judge for decades, being elected long before the Florida Supreme Court passed a rule by setting circuit chief judge term limits. The Supreme Court made this rule because it eventually dawned on these legal dinosaurs that a chief judge in a Florida circuit answers to no one. A prolonged term by a Florida chief judge is ripe for abuse, and therefore this puts the state of Florida on the hook for some embarrassing litigation. Most of those working for the 9th Court Administration were certain the term limits were instituted to specifically force Belvin Perry out of being a chief judge. Perry had developed so much power that he was actually feared by the Supreme Court of Florida. Let's take a moment to reflect on a Florida Circuit Chief Judge's unchecked power. When you're hired by the court, you are informed that you work at the discretion of the chief judge, meaning he or she can fire you without reason, cause, or review. This is a single example of the absurd amount of unchecked power they have. The chief judge can walk into court administration and say that an employee looked at them weirdly and they want them fired. Court administration has no latitude to stop a termination, except for trying to talk the chief judge out of their rash behavior. However, court admin does this delicate dance knowing that they could be the next to go. Tell me, how would you like to work under that blanket of shit? I did it for 30 years. Keep in mind, it's not just the chief judge who wields this power. A regular judge could report to the chief judge that they were looked at weirdly, and if your chief judge likes that judge and doesn't like you, you're gone. Check out the appalling amount of unregulated power the chief judge has by Florida statute. I'm not really sure why they call them a chief judge and not the king of the court, and everyone else is their jesters in which to abuse. Florida Statutes 43.26. Chief Judge of Circuit, Selection, Powers. Current as of 2022. 1. The chief judge of each judicial circuit, who shall be a circuit judge, shall exercise administrative supervision over all the trial courts within the judicial circuit and over the judges and other officers of such courts. 2. The chief judge of the circuit shall have the power A. To assign judges to any division of the court and to determine the length of the assignment. B. To regulate use of courtrooms. C. To supervise dockets and calendars. D. To require attendance of state attorneys, public defenders, clerks, bailiffs, and all other officers of the court. And E. To do everything necessary to promote the prompt and efficient administration of justice in the courts over which he or she is chief judge. F. To delegate to the trial court administrator by administrative order the authority to bind the circuit in contract. G. To manage, operate, and oversee the jury system as provided in 40.001. 3. The chief judge shall be responsible to the chief justice of the Supreme Court for such information as may be required by the chief justice, including, but not limited to, caseload, status of dockets, and disposition of cases in the courts over which he or she presides. 4. Failure of any judge, clerk, prosecutor, public defender, or other officer of the court to comply with an order or directive of the chief judge under this section shall constitute neglect of duty for which such officer may be suspended from office as provided by law. 5. There may be a trial court administrator who shall perform such duties as the chief judge may direct. 6. The chief judge of each circuit is charged by the Florida Constitution and this section with the authority to promote the prompt and efficient administration of justice in the courts over which he or she is chief judge. The clerks of court provide court-related functions which are essential to the orderly operation of the judicial branch. The chief judge of each circuit, after consultation with the clerk of court, shall determine the priority of services provided by the clerk of court to the trial court. The clerk of court shall manage the performance of such services in a method or manner that is consistent with statute, rule, or administrative order. Damn! In what world is a person given the power to suspend employees who work for other elected officials and in other branches of government? I'm not a legal person, but consider how poorly this next clause of power is worded. E. To do everything necessary to promote the prompt and efficient administration of justice in the courts over which he or she is chief judge. Am I crazy, or is the word everything rarely used in legal language? Doesn't that verbiage imply that a chief judge has unlimited power? Under the guise of efficient administration of justice, they can do anything. They can do everything. Hey, it's right there in black and white. Can he shoot his JA for using his bathroom? After all, if the judge has to go and his JA is slowing him down as an inefficient justice, it looks like the judge can pop 3 rounds through the door and it's all good. Doesn't the Florida Supreme Court ever review this shit? This sounds like Perry wrote it. Knowing how badly this power can fester, you need to understand the Supreme Court qualifications to become a judge in Florida. Below, read the Florida statute to qualify to be a county judge. 34.021 Qualifications of County Court Judges. 1. No person is eligible for election or appointment to the office of county court judge unless the person is, and has been for the preceding 5 years, a member in good standing of the Bar of Florida prior to qualifying for election to such office or submitting his or her name to the appropriate judicial nominating commission for appointment. However, a person is eligible for election or appointment to the office of county court judge in a county having a population of 40,000 or less if he or she is a member in good standing of the Bar of Florida. 2. A county court judge is eligible to seek re-election or retention, notwithstanding the provisions of subsection 1, if on the first day of the qualification period for election to such office or a retention vote, such judge is actively serving in such office and is not under suspension or disqualification. 3. Any person who was a county court judge prior to July 1, 1978, in any county having a population of 40,000 or less, according to the last decennial census, and who has successfully completed a 3-year law training program approved by the Supreme Court for the training of county court judges who are not members of the Florida Bar, is eligible to seek election or retention and to serve as a county court judge in any county having a population of 40,000 or less, the provisions of subsection 1 to the contrary notwithstanding. 4. Any county judge who is not a member of the bar in any county having a population of 40,000 or less, according to the last decennial census, and who has successfully completed a law training program approved by the Supreme Court for the training of county court judges who are not members of the Florida Bar, is entitled to serve as a county court judge in any county encompassed in the circuit in which the judge has been elected or retained in a retention vote when assigned thereto. As you can see, you can be the very crappiest low-life Better Call Saul attorney and can become a Florida judge and possibly a Florida chief judge if you're in good standing with the Florida Bar. Almost without exception, Florida voters have never heard of a judicial candidate, which means most Florida judges are voted in by the public pulling the party handle in the booth or are appointed by the governor, which, as for determining the quality of a judge, it's probably better for Florida if they are elected. In certain cases, an attorney with no political supporters who wants to run to become a judge will have to think out of the box to make them stand out. For example, one of the Ninth Circuit's judges was Robert Evans. However, in his campaign, he ran with the name of Bob Evans. This worked wonderfully for him. He was voted in as a judge because Florida residents thought he owned a good restaurant chain and made good eggs and bacon, so he would therefore be a great judge. Reality check time. Have you detected any problems in this judicial election process yet? Up front, I know there are some very good judges. I'm not trying to infer that all judges are incompetent. Just most of them I've met. If you are a judge and reading this right now, you're probably thinking, yeah, I'm one of the good ones. Are you? I found that those who are most vocal and demand the most attention just happen to be jaded and narcissistic. On the other hand, I found that the best judges are those who treat court administration with respect and gratitude. That makes sense because the judges we deem as good tend to treat those in their courtroom with respect. The other ones, the loud ones, the judges who believe they are superior to everyone, typically run their court accordingly. And then, when you climb down the stupid tree and cling onto the lowest branches, you find judges who are simply there for the paycheck. They don't have much interest in legal stuff, and a good day would be shaking the cage of an employee or belittling an attorney or defendant. It's these particular judges that make you wonder why they even go into law. One of my judges told me he invented the internet, yet he couldn't remember his computer password. Few know this, but Lisa Munyon invented the iPad. She sat on her iPod. I believe if you simply grabbed someone strolling by in front of the courthouse and made them a judge, you'd be batting 500. In my opinion, Florida's judicial election process is ludicrous. Florida judges are the most powerful people in Florida, yet there is absolutely no process in place to determine if they would make a good judge. More often than you'd believe, a burned-out attorney thinks, hey, I could shut down my failing law practice and become a judge and make $182,000 a year and a healthy pension. There are no checks and balances to prevent piss-poor attorneys from becoming piss-poor judges. However, if Florida's Supreme Court were to think out of the box, which of course they never do because they're at the end of their dreary lives and don't really give a shit, there are better options. For example, the members of the Florida Bar could vote for attorneys they feel were accomplished, have a good track record, and have the mental tools and morals to make life and death decisions. Who knows, maybe those bar members who vote might even generate a little documentation as to why they voted for an attorney that could be shared with the public. Why the documentation? I assume that you've never tried to research a potential judicial candidate. Sure, they might have a web page they created using a legal boilerplate template, but you really don't know them. You don't know if they're a good attorney or really anything about them. The only documentation available to voters pertaining to potential judges is totally self-created. They told you what they want you to believe they represent. I seriously doubt they'll tell you that other attorneys believe they're assholes, incompetent, egotistical, unethical, immoral. They beat their kids and wife, smoke weed, snort coke off a hooker's taint, looked into becoming a jihadist and can't stand the fucking law. After the vote by the bar, only those attorneys who had percolated up the kimberlite pipe of that shit volcano could then run for the judiciary in a general election. All the reasons the bar voted for this person would be made available to the public and posted on the bar's website. This method of electing judges would work on many levels because certified asshole attorneys don't befriend other attorneys. Why? Because they're assholes. You saw that coming. Right? Hey, right there, we saved Florida $182,000 on electing a total zero into a judicial state FTE or full-time employee. Case in point, when I had just begun working for the Ninth Circuit Court of Florida, I was asked to replace the monitor in a judge's chamber. For the record, in Belvin Perry's podcast, he listed this judge as one of his best friends. Before entering this judge's office, I noted that his entire courtroom was full of people and attorneys waiting for the judge to appear. When I entered the judge's chamber, I tried to replace his monitor very quietly because he was taking a nap on his sofa. Did he give two shits about any of those people in his courtroom? Hell no. He sucked as an attorney, he sucked as a human being, and just kept on sucking as a judge. Could I have done anything about it? Not really. If I'd reported the incident, the judge would say I was lying and I would be fired. After all, they're a judge, and to them I'm simply a court administration worm that has little credibility and zero power. A few days later, I was sent up to a different judge's chambers. For the record, this was another judge that during Perry's podcast said was his other best friend. I was told he had some type of issue with his keyboard. At that time, there were strict smoking laws. Yet this judge didn't think laws applied to him, and he chain-smoked in his office up to the first day of his last stroke. I wasn't broken up over his death. I felt it was an additional lungful of oxygen that was saved for those who make life better for those around them. After looking his keyboard over, I saw it was caked by smoke-encrusted fingers and badly discolored. The judge told me to clean his keyboard. I responded that I didn't think I could get it clean. At that point, the judge left the room, walked into his bathroom, and came back with a toilet brush. He then told me to go clean his toilet, which I did, and think I did a pretty damn good job. I always took great pride in my work at the court. There was kind of a thick, nasty ring, and I really had to scrub. I was considering buying one of those pumice stones, you know, they remove the ring of calcium without harming the... I'm sorry. I seem to have gotten lost in the story of my important work. Hey, everyone brags a little about their gig? Another judge that was pissed at me for not getting to his office quickly enough made me clean his blinds. Again, I thought I did a damn good job. On my first day of work at court admin, I spent half a day moving a judge's office to a different courthouse. That day, I should have probably run from the court and never looked back. Bad attorneys who become bad judges have both mental and power issues. Yesterday, they were chasing ambulances and barely scraping out a living, yet today, they are a powerful judge and everyone must bow to them. Instant power is like an arterial injection of aplomb and goes from the vein to the brain of a marginal attorney who never had anyone's respect. This combination of insecurity and arrogance is the perfect recipe for embryonic deleterious. However, in the Florida court system, this dance has been hopping since statehood in 1845, and it appears there are no Florida leaders or entities that can scratch the needle from the vinyl and Bluetooth in with some modern solutions. Maybe this book will help. Probably not.